Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Bible study tonight. Our study begins this evening in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. It says that the epistle of 1 Peter is written through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, says Peter. What does it mean that the epistle was written through Silvanus? Was he the bearer of the letter, as in Acts chapter 15? Was he the secretary or amanuensis who wrote the letter, as was Tertius in Romans chapter 16 and verse 22? Is he responsible for writing the letter on behalf of Peter? Scholars suggest to us that the role of amanuensis might be quite extensive. The author giving the outline of the material and the amanuensis filling in the details, thus being responsible for the style and the arrangement of the material. Then the author would check it over and authenticate the final product. Now, lest you question the authority of 1 Peter on this reconstruction, recognize that Silvanus is identified as a prophet in Acts chapter 15 and verse 32 under the name of Silas. Silvanus may be a Latinized form of Silas. Usually, Silvanus and Silas are identified as the very same man. And we're going to see further evidence of this later on in our study tonight. But who is Silvanus or Silas, and what can we learn from him, this man that Peter identifies as our faithful brother? He is first mentioned in Acts chapter 15 as one of two leading men among the church at Jerusalem that was sent to the church in Antioch to carry the letter from the apostles and the elders. You read about that in Acts chapter 15 and verse 22. Silas or Silvanus was not one of the 12 and probably was not one of the elders in Jerusalem, but nevertheless, a man quite responsible, or he would not have been given this task of taking the letter to the church at Antioch. It was a delicate responsibility that he and his companion Judas were given. I'd like my brethren to have the same kind of confidence in me. And I think all would do well to aspire to producing that kind of confidence in their brethren. And that kind of confidence is inspired by the loyalty that an individual has to the will of God. Loyalty to brethren that may be different than oneself. We can be loyal to ourselves in one thing, but being loyal to other people, that's different. Stability and commitment over a long period of time develop people's confidence in you. And evidently, Silas was just such a man. A large part of leadership is about developing other people's faith in you. And this means that you must give consideration to what they're thinking and not act in ways that undermine their confidence in you. These two men, Silas and Judas, have created faith in the hearts of those in the church at Jerusalem, and so they are given this task of taking this delicate letter to the church at Antioch. Now, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 32, we read about how that Silas and Judas were both prophets. Not only did they deliver the letter and authenticate its message verbally, according to Acts 15 and verse 27, these two men encouraged and strengthened the brethren in Antioch with a lengthy message, according to chapter 15 and verse 32. So we learn that these men were teachers, and they were effective communicators. The text says they spent some time in Antioch. Sometimes time spent is necessary to the mission. People need time to become acquainted, to create a bond of trust. had Silas and Judas simply read their letter and left, the result might not have been the same. But these two men spent some time there. They took the edge off of strangers coming and dropping off a letter and then leaving. The result was that they were sent away from the brethren in peace. Acts chapter 15 and verse 33 mentions this specifically. Silas actually remained in Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, teaching and preaching. In Acts chapter 15 and verses 36 and following, we read about how that Silas traveled with Paul from Antioch on the second preaching tour. For Paul to choose Silas indicates that he had confidence in him, evidently more than he had in John Mark, because the text indicates that Paul was unwilling to take John Mark on this preaching trip. Paul believed that Silas was determined to do the work and would not turn back. The brethren in Antioch supported him too. We notice that from verse 40. These men traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. They came to Lystra and Derbe, and going through the Phrygian and Galatian regions, they put out to sea at Troas and sailed for Macedonia. Things were not like they were now in Jerusalem. There was no synagogue in Philippi. Perhaps this was unfamiliar to Silas. He was out on the frontier now, and he was about to get an idea of what this meant. If you would, look with me in your text at Acts chapter 16, and let's begin reading in verse 16 at some of the events that began to transpire. That's in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, beginning. It happened that as they were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, this is Luke and Silas, Timothy perhaps also, she kept crying out saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." And so this is the beginning of what happened here in Philippi with Paul and Silas. We read on down in verses 22 and following how that Silas was imprisoned. He was not just carrying a letter to friendly folks now. In this situation, he was beaten with a rod and thrown into prison. The text indicates that he was praying and singing hymns of praise to God when they experienced an earthquake and they were released from their bonds. And of course, those of us that are familiar with this text here in Acts chapter 16 understand that this is the beginning of the transition for the Philippian jailer, who ultimately becomes a believer. He is converted. In Acts the 16th chapter in verse 37, apparently Silas was a Roman citizen along with the apostle Paul because they are both identified as Roman citizens, having been beaten and put into jail without even a trial. And that was wrong for Roman citizens. In Acts the 18th chapter, in verses 10 through 15, Silas endured persecution at Thessalonica and left by night to the city of Berea. Jews from Thessalonica came there and stirred up the crowds so that Paul left. But the text is very interesting because it says Silas and Timothy stayed behind. Now, perhaps the persecution was focused upon the Apostle Paul, But obviously, Silas and Timothy are companions of his. And can you imagine what it would be like to experience this kind of persecution? And then Paul to leave and for you to stay behind in order to encourage the brethren. Silas is a pretty tough customer, and he's very courageous. In Acts the 18th chapter, in verses 5 and following, we learn that at Corinth, Silas and Timothy rejoined Paul. Silas is the name that is used in the book of Acts. Silvanus is the name that is used throughout the epistles. Now, I think that the New International Version uses even the name Silas in the epistles. But Silvanus may be the Latinized form of the word Silas. He is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, probably in reference to what took place in Acts chapter 18 in verse 5. First of all, let's look at the text there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, "For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but yes in him." The gospel that was preached was by me and Silvanus and Timothy, and it has a ring of truth. It is not oscillating back and forth so that it is yes and then no. And that's Paul's point here in this text. But I want you to notice what is said in Acts the 18th chapter and verse 5. It says, "When Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word." Now, what they did is they came down from Macedonia to the city of Corinth. And that's where the second epistle of Corinthians that we've just read from is identifying. So it says that Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, what I want you to recognize is that Silas is in this same relationship with these Corinthians, and he is there with Paul. So the epistles of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were written from Corinth during this second preaching tour. And these epistles reference Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy in their greetings in chapters 1 and verse 1. And so we know that Silvanus is there along with Paul and Timothy. The mention in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 and following references their imprisonment in Philippi. These evidences support the idea that Silvanus is the Silas of the book of Acts. Silvanus was both a fellow sufferer and a fellow preacher with Paul. It's obvious that he spoke with boldness amidst opposition. And yet, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says that he proved to be gentle among the Thessalonians, imparting the gospel and their own lives to them. That is, both Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, proving themselves to be gentle, yet speaking out with boldness, imparting the gospel and their own lives to them. The constant use of the pronoun we throughout these epistles implies a co-authorship with Paul and Timothy. So Silvanus has his mark on these epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. This may be a similar co-authorship that is referenced in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, where Peter says that he's writing this through Silvanus. You must recall that Peter was one of the apostles at the Jerusalem meeting back in Acts chapter 15. In 1 Peter, his description of Silvanus as a faithful brother is consistent with what we have seen of him in Acts and in the epistles of Paul. So sometimes as we think about the different characters of the New Testament, men of the caliber of Paul and Peter and John and the other apostles come to our minds very, very easily. And some of these lesser characters, like Silas, may not come to our mind as quickly. And although we do not have extensive biographical information about Silas, what information we do have about his life is all positive. There's nothing in the scripture regarding his conversion. There's nothing said about his work after these experiences that we've just described. What we do know presents him as a man of faithfulness and a bold proclaimer of the gospel of Christ, a lover of men's souls, a man of courage, willing to lay down his life to teach and to exhort and to care for the people of God. You know, when I think about Silvanus or Silas, I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed with the character and the kind of person this bold proclaimer of the gospel of Christ really is. And what I would like to do in my life is to use him as an example that I might become more and more like him. And what I'd like for you to think about this evening as you give consideration to this man, Silvanus or Silas, is that you aspire to the same kind of leadership that he exhibited, the same kind of courage, the same kind of faithfulness, that you be a lover of men's souls and one that is willing to lay down your life in order to teach and exhort people and to care for the people of God.